The views expressed on community issues and missions are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of the board or the staff of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio.
Welcome to Community Issues and Missions. Cumberland Valley Christian Radio is proud to provide a servant's heart time where we recognize local people who are addressing issues that impact our central Pennsylvania community. People tackle the problems and do their best to take corrective actions to make our lives better.
Hello and welcome back to this new week of Community Issues and Missions. It is great to be with you again. I am your first host, Jeremy Ross.
And I am your second host, Kelly Grant.
And beginning the month once again here in March now, we have our representatives from the FFA. So I have Sam Loy, who is the state reporter, and Melena Bashore, who is the state chaplain. So how have the two of you been doing over the past month or the time since I've seen you last?
Good. It's starting to warm up. Yay. Which I appreciate, but I don't know if Melena does.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm a huge fan. I don't like the winter, so warm weather is a little more appreciative. But we've been busy as usual and keeping life pretty interesting, I guess, in the FFA and agricultural industry.
Because I know for you guys, you don't get much of a chance to stop and slow down when you guys are working through all this stuff.
We have a lot of hurry up and wait. That's our our advisor's favorite term. He's like, hurry up and wait. And we're like, dude, just chill.
Better to be early than to be late, right?
Well, since you were talking about that, of course, it made me think about the events and the things that have been going on. So the last program, we had talked about ACES, partially because with the timing of when the program aired, it was like right smack in the middle of the event actually going on. So we were talking about sort of what was happening, you know, getting a sense of what, you know, some of the final results might be. But now that we're past all of it, we have the finalized results. So I'd like to hear how the ACES event went throughout its entire
And before you begin, just remind us what ACES stands for.
ACES stands for Agricultural Cooperation Establishes Success, and it's a conference that we hold.
We have about 1,500 total members that come, but it's split up over 3 weekends. So our first weekend, we had around a little over 350. Our second weekend, we had above 550. And this past weekend, we had just around a solid 500. They come from all different chapters across the state. So we had this weekend our chapters from Philadelphia come up. A few weekends ago, we had our chapters from Erie. So we get a whole cast and crew come from all over just for our little leadership conference we do. So that's pretty cool.
Now, the interesting thing about the conference, especially with what you have written down, like the different workshops really cover a very broad range of topics. And we were discussing this before we even started recording, and mm-hmm. I guess you can go ahead and take this as my co-host, because you were particularly interested about this one in particular.
Right, I saw diversity, and so I'd like to ask you, what was that workshop like? What is diversity?
So diversity is how different we all are, as most of us mm-hmm. would know. And at this particular conference, we held one that was Speak Ag entitled, and it was all about ag diversity. Not necessarily like the people aspect of how diverse we all are, even though we do cover an extreme vast amount of people in our diverse country and our diverse state. This was more about how diverse agriculture in the state of Pennsylvania is. So we are top hardwoods producing state, and that is a lot up north. Along with like top mushroom producing, like we
I
are
didn't
mushroom
know that. That's
in,
interesting.
Like, the most in the world, mm-hmm. And that's a lot of like southeastern type in our state. Dairy, pork, chicken, that's kind of all over our state. Okay. We also talked about how diverse FFA is as well, and then we did maple syrup, which is again up north and out west.
We I
just
didn't
covered
know
different parts of it. Yeah,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I didn't know that we produce some maple syrup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We do. It comes from like the sugar maple trees, and that's actually some of our students' like projects. Is they tap maple syrup and then they evaporate it, and they eventually come up with the syrup that we all like to eat, which is really crazy. So yeah.
In Grand Canyon FFA, that's up north past State College, they actually have something called a sugar shack, where they have their own maple trees on school property that their students in class will go out and tap, and over the course of the school year, they'll make their own maple syrup that then sell as a chapter fundraiser.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, you didn't know that we had maple syrup in the state.
No.
Probably a lot of the students that we had, too, weren't aware that there was maple syrup in the state, just as mushrooms as well.
And right.
It's kind of more regional, even though we're a decently sized state. We don't always know what's always happening in the other part of the state.
That's right. And I didn't realize that we were a producer of wood up in the northern part of Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. Well, but remember, that ties in very well, like earlier in the year, especially during the Christmas season, because remember with the Christmas tree conversation, we were talking about how hardwoods are actually a bigger producer.
That's right.
Yeah.
We are, I believe, number 6th in the nation for Christmas tree production as well. We have about 15 different types of Christmas trees, I believe, in the state of Pennsylvania. So yeah, we are a very diverse state in agriculture.
That's fascinating. I just didn't know that. I just figured maybe dairy industry and...
No, it's an excellent conversation to have because, when people think about diversity, we tend to think of the human aspect of it. And that's true. But, no, it applies to many other areas. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting to learn about that and see just how much is going on in just our state, you know, let alone the rest of the country and the specific areas.
That's wonderful. Go PA. Okay. Yeah. That's great.
And that was just one topic that you guys were covering during ACES. I mean, you've got listed down. You went over stuff like social media, first impressions, careers. I don't know how much you want to discuss about some of the things that happened there, but all of those sound interesting in their own way, too.
So the social media one was also called the Struggle Bus.
We really?
So we've all seen those posts on Twitter or on Instagram that are really random and they don't make any sense, maybe by famous people or just people in general. So we kind of took that as in we all have our own struggles in lives, and some of them we can see and some of them we can't. But it's all about the journey to the top as well and not just the destination there. Mm-hmm. So while doing that, we looked over different social media posts from people that we, you know, celebrities and that kind of stuff. And we were just like, okay, so this post doesn't really make sense, whereas this post does. And then what we can do as a general public to make sure that we don't post things that aren't really necessary or that would offend anybody or be biased in any sort of way.
So it's a bit of etiquette, social etiquette, so to speak. Okay.
And in our first impressions workshop, that one, there's something that I've only ever heard referred to in FFA called an elevator speech. I don't know if I just need to get out more or if, like that's just that thing. And it's a 30-second kind of spiel. Like when me and Melina are out and we have our jackets on, sometimes someone will ask us like, oh, like, who are you guys? Why are you wearing those weird jackets? Mm-hmm. And that's when we have to do our elevator speech because we have their attention for probably a solid minute. Maybe. So we need to, in 30 seconds, get out what we're all about as an organization to them in a way that they understand and is, like, interesting. So we were trying to teach our students that came through that workshop something along the lines of that. Like, when they're riding the elevator to the top of our hotel and someone gets on and it looks at them and asks them, oh, why are you guys here? They can go, oh, well, I'm actually one of the 13,000 Pennsylvania FFA members of the 600,000 across the United States of America, and they can do all that in a way that they're comfortable with because, as Melina said, our theme for our conference was Journey to the Top. So we wanted to focus on, in these workshops, lessons that we could help our students reach their true potential.
Basically. Sure. Well, that's great that you have that first impressions workshop because a first impression can be a lasting impression. Mm-hmm. And people tend to remember that for the first time that they meet someone.
Yeah. So and first impression actually gets made within the first 7 seconds of coming in contact with somebody.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're a lot of times your body language or your facial, like just different things that you have about it can like make that impression of whether or not we want to continue to talk and form a relationship with this person, or if we're just going to turn around and walk the other direction.
Sure. It's interesting how it's described because, you know, you talk about being an elevator speech because it makes me think it's pitching. It's like the very basics of pitching, which is very wise and helpful to know for any type of professional type and honestly, even beyond professional, just for any interactions that you have with people. So, and it's just interesting to see how different people will describe it differently. Like, elevator speech. And then when I thought about it, I was like, you know, that's a very appropriate, analogy to use for how you can go about doing this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Some of the other ones we did were, like, different ag careers. We actually brought people in from Penn State, and they held a workshop based on what kind of degrees would get you this type of ag job versus this type of ag agricultural career in this whatever.
Because some of our students want to do stuff like be a vet technician or be a mechanic or be a farmer or a college professor or a whole wide range of things. And not every single one of those needs a college or degree. But we found that in school they were being taught that you need to go to college to get a job. And we wanted to kind of, we focus a lot on trying to make it known that you can become something like a plumber, an HVAC technician, anything like that, and you can go to trade school. So they had one corner that was focused on four-year degrees, and they had, like, you know, teachers, and then they had one for doctors and all that stuff. But then they also had one, and on the top of the board it said 0 to 2 years, and it was things like a vet technician, plumbing, things that you could go to a trade school through high school or a two-year college program at a technical institute and get all the skills you needed for a lot less money and a lot less time. And then you can, you know, especially if you're not a real, you know, school person, then you can get your education done and you can start doing what you like.
Yeah, I bet that was an excellent workshop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad.
It'd be very helpful.
I'm glad that they included stuff like that, because having been through college myself, you know, I can see both sides of it. You know, college, yes, it definitely helps you, but a lot of stuff, it's kind of like, if you can get that practical experience and really just kind of dive into it, I'm like, that is, if you can do that and not have to shell out all the money for it, absolutely. So I'm glad that they did a workshop that focused on that area and really showed like all the options that you could go into on both sides of the fence.
And then our last one that we had was hosted by Pennsylvania Farm Bureau, and it was actually kind of like a little demonstration of what they do in their mobile ag lab, which is something they started a few years ago, and they'll go out to different schools. You can contact them and give them information, and they'll come visit your school, and it's designed for young students, so elementary school students that'll come in, and they do something like a science project or science experiment, something cool to kind of like get them interested in STEM and all that sort of stuff. But we asked them to do it for high school students, and they were like, well, yeah, we can do that. So all of these students would come in, and they had cornstarch and water and food dye, and they had them make their own plastic right there.
Oh.
It took them, I mean, they did it in, our workshops are 40 minutes long, so they did that in 40 minutes. That
I think they also did the one about like the peanuts, like the styrofoam peanuts. Mm-hmm. They have eco-friendly styrofoam peanuts now, like packing peanuts.
Oh, they do.
Because packing peanuts don't actually like disintegrate, and they just kind of take up space in a landfill, and eventually our landfills are all going to get full. So they are basically made out of corn products as well, and they showed it to the students as in put it in like a bottle of water and shake it, and the eco-friendly one would eventually start to disintegrate quicker than the other one.
You can actually eat them.
Yeah.
Can you really?
You can. They're made of basically cornstarch, I think. And we did it once in high school. They taste like a Cheeto almost.
Yeah,
but like, I was going to say,
really watered down.
The question is, do they actually taste okay?
They were like, my science teacher was like, if you took like cheese powder and put it on these, it tastes like a Cheeto. And I'm like, well, that's kind of gross.
That's what I was going to say. You like dip it in something, you know? Okay, now we're good to go.
Like, I mean, they're not really healthy for you, but they're not really unhealthy for you. They'll just take up space in your stomach.
There, yeah.
I'm really impressed that these workshops really all follow under leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish I had attended something like that, you know, when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and it's not only just the workshops, but it's an overnight convention that we hold.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in Saturday, and then they do the workshops. And then Sunday morning, we actually hold like a community service time. So after breakfast, like they all get breakfast, and then after breakfast, we always do a community service. We try and make it a little different every year. This year, we actually got in contact with Meals on Wheels, like here local in Dauphin County. So we had roughly 500 students each weekend, and they each made their own placemat. Like, they got given placemats that were just blank, and they got to write and draw different ag facts and things about FFA and what they learned at ACES, and basically decorating the placemats for the people that would get the placemats for Meals on Wheels, so that it would add a little bit of color into their meal as well, and not just staring at the blank placemat. Aww. So, yeah.
And this sect of Meals on Wheels that these placemats were going to were aimed towards communities that had a lot of elderly people in them that maybe couldn't cook as much for themselves. So that's pretty cool. They get to come in and eat a meal, and they look down at their placemat, and they get to learn that, hey, the FFA made this for me. And then they're like, well, what's the FFA? And they flip it over on the back. It tells them exactly what they are.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. And so we just finished up our final weekend of ACES yesterday. So we did our all 3 weekends. So me and Melina have our first weekend. We came in Wednesday. We went till Saturday when the conference started, Saturday and Sunday. Then we stayed till the Wednesday after. We went home for a day, went
back
in.
Spent a couple days at the Capitol while we were there,
And we did our second weekend. And then this week we came in on Friday and we met with some of our students that have to do with what we'll talk about later, and we did our third and final weekend. So,
so are you a little tired?
No. No.
We don't sleep, we wait.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, if you hadn't guessed just by listening through the program, this turned out to be one of those shows that we've got quite a bit of content going on, because we've only been covering, you know, what's happened in the past month and not even anything about what's coming up, and some interesting just little conversations about this time of the year as far as agriculture goes. So we're going to do another 2-week program. So we'll leave you at this point to think about the stuff that we've been talking about already, and then we'll come back next week. Same group, same time, same place. So thank you for listening. And we will see you for our next edition of Community Issues and Missions. Have a great week.
Well, we thank you for listening today. Please pray for these people as they address the issues and mission efforts for all of us. We'll talk to you again next week.